and strength to the Lord.
Song of encouragement will be number 381.
Well, good afternoon. All right, good. I'm always not sure what time is it. Is it afternoon or is it the evening? But we're glad you're here no matter what. Got a great crowd. Thank you so much for coming. Lots of places you could be tonight during this time. I always tell people who don't come back Sunday night, I said, if there's a TV show better than coming to services, I want to know what it is. I want to watch it. I've never seen one or heard of one. They don't even have bananas on anymore, so I know there isn't one. So on Sunday nights. You know, a lot of times when someone hasn't heard you for a while and they come back and they hear you, they say, Paul, you've got better. Well, you know, I hope after 30 years you get a little better, you know. I remember one of the first times I ever baptized anybody was at College View. This boy came forward. He was 6'9". And I got him into baptistry, and I was all excited, you know, and going to baptize the guy. And I got his confession. I say, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit for the forgiveness of your sins. I put him in the water, and I heard a big bang out in the audience. I looked. I said, what was that? And I raised up Philip. His eyes were this big. I said, welcome to the family, Philip. He didn't say anything. He's just shaking like this. I said, well, you know, everybody reacts a little different when they're baptized, you know. And then Philip, I'm holding him, and he's walking like this, and he gets out of the water, and he goes into the dressing room, and he's in there, and I'm in there taking off my waders. And Brother Leon Graham was one of the elders, came in and said, how's Philip doing? I said, you know, I haven't baptized very many guys, but he's just sitting in the corner not saying anything. Is that what they do? He goes, how's his head? I said, what do you mean? He said, you hit his head on the step. He really almost did die to the Lord. I knocked him out. And he was like this. He's in the car. I said, Philip, you're doing okay? So I promise, tonight if you come forward, I'm better at baptizing. But we got some other people that can help you. But again, thank you so much for coming. You know, after my first year at Western Kentucky University, I went back home to Toronto, my hometown. And when I got back home, I needed a job, like all college students did. I wasn't a Christian yet, and it was the next summer I came home that I was. And so I needed a job. So a friend of mine, he worked as a banquet manager at this new restaurant that opened at home. And it was like an English castle. It was called Three Crowns. And all the waiters dressed in Edwardian outfits and so forth. And you got great tips. It was like a steak and lobster kind of a place. So I went in, and Dave said, go on in there, try, they'll hire you. So I went in and said, hey, I'm back home from school from Western Kentucky in the United States. I said, I'd like to be a waiter. He said, well, we don't have any jobs right now for a waiter, but we need somebody to be a dishwasher. I said, I don't even wash my dishes at home. I said, a dishwasher? Don't they know? I go to the United States. Let's go to school. Don't they know I got my name in a football program? I should have brought it and showed them. Don't they know I signed some autographs before? A dishwasher. I said, okay. So I worked the first shift that night. I had food all over me. People throwing dishes at me. I had an apron with junk gravy here, potatoes here. And it was hot and humid. I had guys saying, hey, I need some more clean dishes. Oh, you'll get them in a minute. They kept yelling and screaming at me. I remember the next day my friends came over and said, Paul, tell us about what it's like to go to school in the United States. Tell me what it's like, and is it fun down there and all this kind of stuff? And I told them, and they said, oh, Paul, you got it made. And I kept saying to myself, I hope they don't know what I do now. I was embarrassed. I'm a dishwasher. I was ashamed. I came from signing autographs to doing dishwashing. But then I said to myself, you know what? Am I too good to be a dishwasher? Nah. Do I need the money? I sure do. Is it something that the Lord approves of? He sure does. So I said, okay, I'm going to wash dishes, and not only wash them, I'm going to do a good job. I started yelling back at the waiters, where's my dishes? You'll get them when they're extra clean. I yelled back at them. At the end, as time went on, there was an opening they needed for a waiter. And they said, Paul, we got an opening. Do you want to be a waiter? I said, sure, I'll be a waiter. So the rest of the summer, I was a waiter. And one of my last shifts, a real famous person came in the restaurant to have lunch. he was there making a recording in Toronto. And so he came in, and everybody wanted to wait on him. And he wasn't in my station. And the manager said, hey, we need a special waiter for this guy. And so they said, well, who's it going to be? Who do you think they picked? The dishwasher. And I know they were mad, but he said, let Paul serve him. So there it was. I went over to him, and I said, Elton John, what would you like for lunch? And Elton John said, he told me, can you stand here? Everyone's bothered, you know, trying to get my autograph. Can you keep them away? I said, sure can. I don't have any more tables. Well, then he said, hey, you don't have any more tables? I said, no. He said, would you like to have lunch? I said, are you buying? And Elton John said, sure. So I sat down for 2 hours. I had lunch with Elton John. I went from being a dishwasher to having lunch with Elton John. And I was embarrassed at first. I was ashamed. Have you ever been ashamed of being a Christian? Have you ever been ashamed to tell your friends, I'm going to church tonight? Have you ever been ashamed to say, you know what? I'm a member of the Market Street Church of Christ. For a few moments tonight, I want to talk about being ashamed of the Lord and being in His family. Because sometimes in our life, we're going to go through it, especially when you're young. It's going to be hard, as the song says, to stand up for Jesus. But we need never be ashamed. We need never be ashamed. The definition of being ashamed is a feeling of shame or guilt, reluctant to participate through fear of shame. And the idea is you don't act in a certain way because of what people might say. When you look at the early Christians, they were faced with just unbelievable situations. And they never were ashamed. They were told to deny the Lord or be burned at the stake, where one martyr said, how could I deny my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Whereupon she started to sing a song and she was burned at the stake. They would tie Christians inside animal skins and throw them to the animals for games. They'd bring Christians out into the Colosseum and feed them to the lions. Not once were they ashamed. In fact, they stopped feeding Christians to lions, some history books say, because the Christians weren't fun to watch anymore. They would come in singing psalms. The psalms they came in singing. And they'd sit in a circle and sing psalms while the crowd would boo. And the animals wouldn't attack them because they weren't running around. Oh, eventually, of course, they would. How in the world could they do it? Because they weren't ashamed. They weren't ashamed of who they were. One day, you know, we'll be in heaven. I always thought about this. And we'll get a chance to be with those godly people from all time. And we'll see some people from the first century. And in a spiritual way, we'll say, hey, when did you live on earth? Oh, I was there when the church was established. Well, what was it like? Oh, you wouldn't want to live there. I tell you what they did to me. They dipped me in oil. And they hung me from a tree. And they set me on fire. My whole family. That's terrible. I know. And they did even worse things to other people. Boy, when did you live? Well, I lived in the 2000s, 2018, 2020. Well, what was it like then? They probably had some terrible things by then to do. What did they do to you? Somebody called me a name once. Somebody made fun of me once. When we think of what we go through and we're still ashamed, you know what? We ought to be ashamed. Because we didn't stand up. Look what it says in Acts chapter 7. You know the story of the familiar story of Stephen. Acts chapter 7. The familiar story of Stephen. Look what he says in Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. I tell you what we forgot to do today. We forgot to stand up. So let's stand up for our reading. Our first reading we have. Acts chapter 7, starting in verse 57. Acts chapter 7, starting in verse 57. Then they cried out with a loud voice. They stopped their ears and ran at him with one accord. They cast him out of the city and they stoned him. And the witnesses laid their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. They stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down And he cried with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. And the congregation said, amen and amen. Please be seated. Look at Stephen, stoned to death. And I want you to notice what Stephen did. Very similar to what Job did. When Job was in such a trying time, do you remember what he did? He fell down and worshiped the Lord. What did Stephen do? Stephen says he fell down and he worshiped the Lord in prayer. How in the world did they do it? How did Paul and Barnabas in so many places he went, ran out of town? How could they do it? Because they weren't ashamed. And today, if you're a Christian, there's going to be situations that you're going to have to stand up and not be ashamed or embarrassed that you're a Christian, that you're a member of the Lord's family. You know, here's a few instances, practical ones. You know, the number of times we come to services, you seem odd. You're strange. Sunday night, you're at church. I thought you went this morning. Most places don't even go twice a day, let alone once a day. You can even be a member of some churches and not even show up, just send in your money, but not the Lord's people. We come 2 hours Sunday morning, an hour Sunday afternoon and night. We come gospel meetings. We come Wednesday night, VBS. What in the world's wrong with y'all? Don't be embarrassed. A lot of times people used to say to me in college, Paul, what are you going to church for Wednesday night? You went on Sunday. Or why do you go Sunday night? And over all the time, here's what you say. Next time someone asks you why you go on Sunday night when you went Sunday morning, or why you go Wednesday night and you already went Sunday, here's what you say to them. They've never heard it before. I came up with this. It's a great thing to say. Say it. They've never heard it. You'll be the first person ever to say it. Next time they say, why are you going Sunday night? You went Sunday morning. Are you ready? Write this down. Say this. I like it. You like it. What kind of church do you go to? They've never heard anybody who likes it. You mean you like it? I love it. We get to sing praises to the Lord. I get to see my brothers and sisters. I go to work with the people in the world. I go to school with the people in the world. My neighborhood's with the world. I get a chance to be with those who like precious faith. Why wouldn't I want to come? I like coming. Are there some kooks here? There's a few. I even like them. I might even be one. But I like being with them. I like being with you. That's why I'm here. And people don't understand that. Because you can be a faithful member of a congregation in the world's groups and not even come but once, not even come any time during the week. But we go all the time. I like it. Don't be ashamed to tell people where you're going. I'm going to services. Look at Exodus 34, 14. Exodus 34 and in verse 14. Look what it reads. Exodus 34 and in verse 14. Exodus 34, 14. For you shall worship no other God, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God. I tell you what, there's only one God and he's jealous. He wants our time. He wants us to be here. He wants us to serve him. And I tell you what, you're going to seem strange as many times as we come. You know, the way we speak will cause some people to say, you're pretty odd. We don't use vulgar words. We don't gossip. We don't speak unkindly about others. You know, in Colossians chapter 4 and in verse 6, look what it reads. Colossians 4 and in verse 6. People sometimes, they'll say, how come why don't you use bad words? We don't speak like the rest of the world. We don't talk like the rest of the world. And in Colossians 4 and in verse 6, let your speech always be with grace, season with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Our speech is not like the world's. And it seems odd. We don't use vulgar words. We don't take a word and take a few syllables, letters out and make a new word. We don't do that. And that's odd. But don't be ashamed when someone takes the Lord's name in vain. Don't be ashamed to say, I don't appreciate that. One time a man got ready to give a speech at a big famous convention. And it was all the men were there, and he said, since it's only us guys, he said, I got a joke I want to tell you that probably the women wouldn't appreciate it, but I'm going to tell it to all y'all. He started to say it, and a man stood up at the back. He said, there may not be any women here, but there's at least one Christian, and I'd appreciate not hearing that joke. And the man who told that story was the man who was about to tell the dirty joke. He said he never told a dirty joke after that in any size of an audience, any group of people. One person stood up and said, I'm not ashamed, I'm a Christian, and I don't want to hear that. But the world will think we're different when we don't laugh at those and tell those jokes. You know, the way we dress, to some people's odd. You mean you don't wear little shorts like that? You don't wear little dresses like that? You know, you don't wear that bathing suit out, you know, things like that. I don't understand. You guys are odd. You know, in 1 Timothy 2 and in verse 9, the Lord gives instructions. Now, of course, it's talking to the women here, but I think men, the same principle, that we need to all dress in a modest way. 1 Timothy 2 and in verse 9, in like manner. Now, look at verse 9, 8, what they talk about. I desire that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. It says, the seriousness, we all know how serious it is to pray. And now the next verse, he says, in the same seriousness, in the same manner, the same seriousness you have for prayer, you have for your dress. That women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. We dress in a way, men and women, that shows that God, who's we're trying to glorify. But you know what? People sometimes make fun of us, the way we dress. But don't be ashamed. My hobby is to run, and I run getting ready to run a half marathon in a couple weeks. Hopefully next year I'm going to qualify for the Boston. So please pray that I can go. I have to run 4 hours and 10 minutes. I got to do that to make the qualification. Please pray first that I'll live, and then after that I'll make it in 4 hours and 10 minutes. Well, I was in a 15K race, which is 9.3 down in Tampa when I first started running. And in the 80s, back in those days, shorts were short. Now, as I said in my lesson, you can get shorts that go down the ground about now. But this is when you had shorts here. Well, I couldn't wear those. So I got me some sweatpants, and I cut my sweatpants because it was hot in Tampa. And I cut them off about here, and I had me some long shorts. And I showed up at the starting line. It's about 80 degrees, about 15,000 people. I'm going 9.3 miles, and there I am. And these three guys are sitting in front of me, you know, got their Nikes on, looking good. And they looked at me and said, hey, buddy, what do you got on? I said, got my shorts. I said, I never seen shorts like that. I said, made them myself. And then I should have been quiet, but I couldn't. I said, don't worry about it, buddy. I'm going to beat you. I shouldn't have said that. There goes the gun. The gun goes off. And we go, those three guys take off. You go about 4.5 miles and you turn around for a 9-mile race. At the turnaround point, I see these guys. They're about 1/4 mile ahead of me. And I said, oh, Lord, please let me catch them. They made fun of me. Now, the Lord didn't cause a big gust of wind, and I don't think he slowed them down, but I sucked it up and kept going. And I got to about the 7-mile mark, and I caught up to them. And when I got behind them, they were sucking wind just like me. And I pulled up beside these guys. Remember, they're making fun of my shorts. I got up beside them. I said, how you doing, guys? They said, I said, hey, this is the guy with the funny shorts. You can watch him for the last 2 miles. I passed him and I beat him. Now, the Lord didn't give me some miraculous ability. But sometimes people just laugh at us. And they would have laughed at me even if I didn't beat them. But I did. Probably the next race they beat me. But what are we going to do? You know, we can't wear all the world's fashions. And we can't go, you know, we can't wear things that sometimes the people at school can and work can. But don't be embarrassed. We're a Christian. We dress in a way that glorifies the Lord. You know, the places we go and the entertainment that we have, sometimes on, we don't get to watch all the movies because they're not fit to watch. We don't watch all the TV shows because they're not fit to watch. We don't listen to all the music because most of it's not fit to listen to. And that's okay. Don't be embarrassed. You know, a few years ago, the Emmy Awards were given. That's the Emmys for the best television shows. And I felt good about myself. You know why? I didn't know one person who won. Andy Griffin didn't win anything. Lucy didn't win. Bonanza didn't win. I don't even know who won. The shows are rotten. I always tell people, if there's a good show, please tell me. If there's a good movie, tell me. I'm tired of watching The Lion King. I'm tired of watching Alice in Wonderland. I want to see something good. I watch Puppy Dogs every day. Little kids, you know what that show is on? Mickey Mouse Clubhouse. I want to watch something good. Tell me. But we have to turn it off. Look what it says in Philippians chapter 4. Here's what our guideline is. When we're choosing music, when we're choosing entertainment, when we're choosing TV shows and all those kind of things, here's what we're thinking about. Here's what we ask ourselves. Finally, brethren, Philippians 4:8. Whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's just, whatever's pure, lovely, of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. That's what we think about. Are those shows good? Is that something that'll help me be a better servant of the Lord? Don't be ashamed to turn it off. And parents, please, be on your toes. Parents, you're letting your kids go to see movies that aren't fit for anybody to watch, let alone a teenager. If it's rated R, it's got nudity and bad language. If it's TV, PG-13, it's got nudity in a little bit, and it's got bad language. And you let your kids go. No, we can't go to see those. You can still go to heaven and not see some of those shows. Same with music and videos. Can you imagine? I was reading an article the other day. There was some rock star had their video banned from MTV. How bad was it? MTV's videos are terrible. How in the world could something be banned? That's like banned from something terrible. The devil said, that's too bad. You can't go to hell. How bad would that be? And we let our children many times watch those shows. And country music sometimes, people, I'm here to tell you, for the old people, it's just as bad. Back in the old days, it used to be, you know, Home on the Range. You Are My Sunshine. You remember those? You got some of them back at home. That's what put them on. Now, somebody's cheating. There was a number one song a few years ago, I'm as drunk as my horse. Well, you're probably as dumb as your horse for singing that song, too. They're just as bad. What are we going to do? I tell you what, we don't watch those shows. We don't listen to that music. And don't be ashamed to say, I don't know those people. I don't watch those. Look in Acts chapter 19. Here were some people that were doing some things that all the rest of the world was doing at that time. Maybe not all, but a good number. In Acts 19, verse 17. Look what these people did after they became a Christian. Look what they did. Acts 19, verse 17. Or verse 16. Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, prevailed against them, so they fled out of that house naked and wounded. This became known both to all the Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus. Fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord was magnified. And many who had believed came confessing and telling their deeds. And many of those who practiced magic brought their books together, and they burned them in sight of them all. And they counted up the value of them, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. Now, 50,000 pieces, that's a lot of money today, let alone then. And that's what these people did. These are new servants of the Lord, and they said, you know what? We can't do these things anymore. And they not only got rid of them, they burned them. Don't be ashamed to turn off your radio. Don't be ashamed. Tell your children, we don't listen to that. We don't allow that going on in our house. You know, when we teach somebody about Jesus, there'll be a time that you'll be a little ashamed and embarrassed. If you're young, you may not want to tell your friends, well, I go to church. I'm going to a gospel meeting tonight. I can't go to this activity. And sometimes at work, you get a little embarrassed. And sometimes you get a little older when you're dating. You might not want to bring up church right away because the person may think you're kind of strange for going to church all the time. Back in my single days, the last time I ever was ashamed to tell people what I did for a living, I was back in my single days, I was flying from Birmingham to Tampa for a gospel meeting. I was preaching at College View at the time. And I changed planes in Atlanta, and I had to get a new seat. So the guy checking me in said, hey, would you like to sit next to the prettiest girl in the world? Being the nice guy I was, I said, sure. So I got on the plane early in case she needed some help. I got on, it was a big plane, it sat 2, 4, and 2, and we're right at the back, and I'm against the window. And everybody's filling in the plane, I'm waiting for the prettiest girl in the world. Nobody comes. I figured they're going to put some 500-pound guy next to me, just to play a joke on me. And all of a sudden, everyone's looking down the aisle, here she comes. She's missed something. She's so good looking, I can't even look. And she's going to come sit next to me. But then I said, if I tell her I'm a preacher, she won't like me. If I tell her I'm a preacher, I won't get a chance to show her my muscles or anything. She won't know how nice I am. So she sat down next to me. I could look in the reflection of the window. She said, how you doing? I said, fine. I said, where are you going? She said, St. Petersburg. She said, where are you going? I said, Tampa. And I said, what are you doing in Tampa? She says, well, I just finished the contest and I'm going to be a real estate person. She said, what do you do? I said, man, if I tell her what I do, she won't give me a chance to press her, you know? She'll say, oh, no, not a religious guy. She's missed something. So I looked at her. I said, I'm a preacher. She said, you're a teacher? That's close. I said, yeah, I'm kind of teacher. I said, well, I'm a preacher. I preach at the College View Church of Christ in Florence, Alabama. I'm on my way to hold a gospel meeting in Tampa. And that's what I'm doing. I told it all out. She wants to go get another seat. She can go get one. She said, you're a preacher? I said, I sure am. She said, I've got my Bible in my purse. Can we study all the way up to St. Petersburg? I said, yes, I'm a preacher. Yes, I am. I wasn't ashamed. That's the last time I was ashamed to tell somebody. Sometimes we can be ashamed. That's right. I go to Market Street. That's right. That's where I go. That's where the Lord's people go, and that's where I'm going. And that's right. You know, we do sing. Our services aren't like everybody else's. We just sing. We don't have any kind of instruments. I remember when I told my mother, I said, Ma, I'm going to the 12th Street Church of Christ. It's not like the Anglican Church, Mom. She said, well, what's it like? I said, everybody sings, Mom. There's no choir. There's no organ. She says, everybody sings? I said, yes. She says, do you sing? I said, yes. And she said, you don't sing loud, do you? See, mothers know, don't be messing up the singing, giving us a bad name. We all sing. And at first, that's okay. Don't be ashamed. We all sing because that's what we're commanded to do. We take the Lord's Supper every first day of the week. Why? Because we have the example in Acts 20 and 7. We give as we're prospered. We don't have any bingos. We don't have any raffles. We don't have any other ways of raising the money. And don't be ashamed. That's how we do it. That's what the Lord wants. And as a preacher, we don't have any religious titles. I'm not a reverend. I'm not a father. I'm not a pastor. I'm just Paul. Do you know what Paul means? Small. What a name. Small. I got another powerful middle name. You ready? John. That's extra small. I wish my name was, and now Brother Brutus will bring you the lesson. Brother Rocky will be up here. No, I'm just Paul, and just David, and just Buck. We don't have any fancy titles, and I'm not ashamed. I've been places before where I'm in a city, in an organization, and there'll be pastor this, and reverend this, and father this, and they'll say, Paul, what should we call you? Just call me Paul. That's kind of weird. Don't you have a title? Don't have any title. I'm odd. You're odd. We're Christians. That's all we are. We don't have anything that goes with it. We're just Christians. Don't be ashamed just to be a Christian, because that's all we are. And the way we teach people to become a Christian is odd. Any plan is odd to someone who's not religious. But even those in the religious world, they look at it and say, that's how you're saved? That's a strange plan. In Matthew 26, 28, what does it teach us? Matthew 26 and in verse 28. Here's what Jesus says in Matthew 26 and in verse 28. When he took the cup, look what he says in Matthew 26 and in verse 28. Matthew 26 and in verse 28. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Jesus shed his blood for the forgiveness of our sins. When did he shed it? At his death. If we can contact his death, we contact his blood. And Romans 6, 3 and 4 says you're baptized into his death. Therefore, you contacted his death, you contacted his blood, and what happened? Your sins are washed away. That's why when Jesus said, if you believe and you're baptized, you're saved. Why are you saved after you're baptized? Because you contacted his death. That's where you contacted his blood. You mean there's no sinner's prayer? Can't find it in the Bible. You mean there's no christening? Can't find it in the Bible. You mean there's no infant baptism? I can't find it in the Bible. That's pretty strange. It's pretty strange. I've said to people all over the United States, people who are religious leaders sometimes when I've talked to them, on the day of Pentecost, when the people said, "What should we do to be saved?" They were told not to say the sinner's prayer. That would have been a great place to say the sinner's prayer. That's not what they were told. That would have been a great place to just say, "You know what? You're good people. You believe. You feel sorry for what you've done. Now just go ahead and be good from now on." That's not what he said. He said, "You need to repent, turn away, turn around, and be baptized for remission of sins." And I asked people, did those people who did that day, were they saved? I've never had anybody said, no, they weren't saved. Because it says later on, 3,000 were added to the church, to the family. And then I say, if I preach that today, will people be saved? And they say, most of the time when they answer, some don't answer. They say, yes. Then I say, why don't you preach it today? Because what I teach is odd. And for being baptized for the remission of your sins, that's odd. But I'm not ashamed. They weren't on the first day, on the day of Pentecost. And I'm not going to be today. And none of us need to be ashamed. The Lord's church seems strange because the world has different standards. And then you have the religious world that has different standards. But in 1 Peter 2, 9, it says, we're a holy nation. We are a peculiar people. We are by the world standards and even by religious standards. And that's okay. That's okay. And I'm not going to be ashamed anymore. I'm a Christian and a Christian only. And I'm going to try to teach people. I'm going to be as kind and tender-hearted as I can, and all of us are. But when it comes time, I'm going to do like the song says. I'm going to stand up for Jesus. And I hope people will come. I hope my family will come. I hope my friends will come. But I got to think back when I meet the people on the last day, when I'm in heaven one day, what am I going to say to the person who was burned at the stake? What am I going to say to Stephen who was stoned? And none of them were ashamed. I better be able to say, I didn't go through terrible things like that. But maybe you can say, you know what? But my family, they left me. My friends didn't want anything to do with me. They laughed at me. But you weren't ashamed. Many years ago, there was a Little League's baseball team, 12 and 13-year-old boys in California. They played for the Little League championship for Western United States. If they won that, they got to go to the Little League World Series, the dream of every boy and girl who's ever played Little League baseball. They had to win 4 games. They won the first 2 games easy. 2 more games, and they'll be at Williamsport, Pennsylvania, for the Little League World Series, the dream of every boy who's ever played Little League baseball. They won the 3rd game easy. They're favored to win the 4th game. They're going to represent Western United States in the Little League World Series, Williamsport, Pennsylvania, on ABC television. Only problem came when they scheduled the championship game for a Wednesday night. And most of the boys attended a local Church of Christ in their town. And those who didn't, their parents did. One of the boys said, well, what are we going to do? We have Bible study on Wednesday night. They tried to reschedule the game. They wouldn't reschedule it. So the parents said, let the boys decide what they want to do. Are they going to play in the game which they're favored to win, then go to Williamsport, Pennsylvania for the week of their life and play on ABC television? Or are they going to go to Bible study on a Wednesday night? The little boys went in the dugout. And when they came out, some of the boys had tears in their eyes. But the little boys said, we forfeit the game. They never got to play. They never made it to Williamsburg, Pennsylvania. They weren't ashamed to say, we need to be at studies. we need to do what we think's right. And they weren't ashamed to tell all the United States. And I always think one day in heaven, if we get up there, maybe in one corner of the spot, in a spiritual way, there's going to be a little baseball field. And if we get up there and you see a little baseball game going on, you won't have to ask, who are those boys? Because they're the champions. They won a home in heaven. May we never be ashamed to admit we're lost. We need to be saved. And I'll make that good confession that Jesus Christ is the Son, and I'll be baptized to have my sins washed away. I'm not ashamed to do that. And also, I'm not ashamed to admit I haven't been serving the Lord like I should. And I'm going to come back and get my life right. Don't be ashamed to own your Lord. And if we can help you in any ways to get your life right, we'd love to do it right now while we stand and sing.